I think, Doug, you probably have some ideas on this. I mean, we're both involved in the anti-war movement here, and we follow progressive politics in Canada. The Sanders campaign shows us that there seems to be a kind of like Jimmy Carter sentiment in a lot of the United States, where people are kind of just fed up with war after war, and they're losing their homes, and there's no real solutions for them under this policy of neoliberal globalization. So I guess it's just a matter of time before people start acting in their own interest and turning to candidates that talk about inequality and class inequality in the United States.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, what's really surprising too is just the high level of support that Sanders is getting. Because we've had outstanding alternative candidates in the States before, Ralph Nader probably being the most prominent, you know, somebody with very well known, very highly regarded in general, and yet back in his campaigns, and of course the Democrats attacked him ferociously more than the Republicans, they in fact, he didn't get on the ballot in places like California because the Democrats spent a fortune challenging every signature and so on. So Sanders has really broken through that barrier. I mean, he's neck and neck now with Clinton. If he wins in California this week, although they have a funny counting system there, and they have super delegates, and then Rick referred to Las Vegas, where they openly stealing delegates.
And what gets me is the Clinton campaign's attitude, which as of, you know, 6 weeks ago or more was basically, we've already won. Why don't you just step down? You know, like, I know you're a campaign and you go have your fun little campaign, whatever, but don't do it here. We've already won and you're wasting time and all your supporters are wasting my time. You know, it's just arrogant attitude. You know, resistance is futile. Just, you know, like, give up.
Yeah.
And, you know, other parties and other candidate elections, they fight to the finish and everything, but Clinton just expects everyone to just walk away or bow down before. You know, she spends all this time attacking Sanders supporters, saying that they're sexist or racist or whatever, which is usually an inversion of the truth. And, his supporters are among the most progressive, least racist, least sexist people that are involved in this election campaign. So if Sanders is too scary for her, the 74-year-old man and his progressive supporters is too scary, what's she going to do against Trump and his supporters? They don't have any decorum. They're mean. They're nasty. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, you know, they go on. They say very sexist things, very open. Some of their supporters, they've been accused of being racist in a number of areas. And how is Clinton going to deal with that if she says she's scared of the Sanders campaign, right? It's really dishonest the way the whole Clinton campaign has functioned, I think.
Yeah, and Rick, again, he brought up about the money. Hillary is backed by Wall Street. Yeah. And he didn't mention the oligarchs. I mean, you know, there's a tremendous number of oligarchs.
Well, look at the Clinton. Look at the way she does this election. She has the super delegates locked up. You know, it's like, I screw what the Democratic base thinks and the mass party. It's just, you know, she's got those super delegates locked. It's an elite process. But anyway, I guess at the very least, this has been educational about the nature of the Democratic Party and its supporters, particularly the media pundits, which are attacking this grassroots left-wing candidate, people like Paul Krugman. By the way, people can read Rick Sterling's article about that in Counterpunch, where he looked at Paul Krugman's attack on the Bernie Sanders campaign. Ultimately, for us in the anti-war movement, it's a very limited campaign, unfortunately, because Bernie is better on domestic policy. You know, from this program, a labor point of view, in terms of labor unions, working class, Bernie has, you know, been much louder about putting these issues to the forefront, using forbidden words, about class or inequality. That is very important. And I like that he has a distinct domestic policy compared to all the front-runner candidates so far. But on foreign policy, although he doesn't seem to be nearly as bad as Clinton, he's very lacking because I think you pointed out earlier before the program, Doug, he did vote against the Iraq war at some point, but I mean, then he voted to authorize funding for it. And then the Serbia thing back in 99, what was he doing there?
Yeah, he was a big supporter of bombing Serbia and Yugoslavia and helping the KLA. So it He does have some significant flaws in foreign policy, but on the other hand, you know, I was really feeling influenced by Rick's talk maybe we can't seek perfection on this. He certainly is miles ahead, I think, of Trump and Clinton. Even on foreign policy, certainly on domestic policy, there's no comparison at all.
It comes down to economics in part. I understand Bernie Sanders comes from a riding that was tied to the military industrial complex in some respect. I mean, there was military production occurring there,
right.
So it's not likely that he's gonna do a lot against that system, unfortunately. And then there's the question of what these candidates could actually do in opposition to these inequalities if they were elected. And now Clinton, I don't think she would try to rectify a great deal of inequality, and Trump doesn't sound too enthusiastic about that. Bernie might try, but he'd be up against some very powerful interests. So, but as you point out, Doug, you know, in the short term, right now, it seems that the Sanders candidacy or the campaign, is the better option in terms of domestic policy in the United States in the short term. Long term, it's hard to say. I think, you know, if this campaign had real guts, they would just be, he'd run as an independent if he didn't win the nomination for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, it's hard to conceive of him starting to support Hillary because, you know, her policies are so different.
Oh, but what's he going to do, right? That's the problem, and that's where the sheepdog theory comes in, that lack of gender report was talking about. So,
yeah.
You know, his supporters... If Bernie doesn't get the nomination, it's been alleged that the Democratic Party establishment is hoping that he'll just tell everyone to support Clinton and she'll get those votes. But the problem with that, or a potential problem with that theory, is that the people that came into the party to support Sanders might not be so enamored of Clinton's policies, that they don't just see Clinton as substitutable for Sanders, because a lot of the electorate in the United States is mobilized and active on Trump and Sanders because they're upset with the Hillary Clintons and Jeb Bushes and all those other candidates we've had for the past 20 years. The establishment is not too popular right now. So I don't know if, you know, materially those Bernie supporters could all be pushed towards Clinton. And if he doesn't get the nomination and people are upset about it, maybe it's time to really be seriously talking about a third party in the United States.
Yeah, which it's not unprecedented in U.S. policy. You have to go back a very long way. It's historically, a lot of people don't understand the duality of the Democrats and Republicans. That was not always the case in the States.
No, and politics were also more ferocious back then, too. And they might be turning that way once again with the kind of rhetoric that's being exchanged. I think ultimately the two-party duopoly might be seeing some cracks in that, and Sanders, Trump are evidence of what things could move towards.
In fact, I think that's one of the essential differences between Canada and the States. I mean, we do have two big corporatist parties ourselves. They're almost carbon copies in a way. I mean, they're both pretty right wing, but one has a softer, more central image, and the other is pretty hard right wing. But we have had always a strong third party, and as a result, we've been able to get things like Medicare and pensions and all sorts of good social programs and a moderating influence. So
something the Americans haven't had the opportunity to experience, you know, a Green Party style. In the U.S., it would take the form of something maybe resembling their Green Party, whereas here we have the NDP and the PQ in Quebec and so on. In any case, I hope that those people that the Sanders campaign has mobilized will continue to be active and do things. I don't know where that Bernie campaign will go or what he would do necessarily as president, but the people that are voting for him and supporting for him now, what they want, I think they should continue to pursue what it is that they want in America. They seem to want greater equality, economic equality, better distribution of wealth. They want to see, you know, stronger labor protections. They want to see an end to corporate globalization. Those kind of objectives that Bernie supporters have, I think they should continue to pursue them, regardless of whatever vehicle that takes. now that they're active on the political scene, they need to pursue their own self-interest because they represent a large portion of the American public. In any case, thanks, Doug. That's very interesting, and we'll have to see where this campaign goes. I thought this election would be something boring if, you know, a year ago, but fortunately, that's proving not to be the case.